So many of you tell me you want your team to be more proactive, that you want to stop putting out fires or following up all the time. You want your team to take ownership, keep moving things forward, and get more done in the day. How can you figure out how to do this with your team? You can take the Inspire Your Team to Greatness assessment that I've created to answer these burning questions that so many of my client leaders have posed. It's worked for them, and it'll work for you. In less than 10 minutes, find out what's getting in the way and how you can get your team to get more done during the day without you having to hover over them. In my nearly 3 decades of work with leaders at all levels and across industries, I've discovered the 11 things that leaders do, even very well-intentioned leaders do, that kill productivity. Take the Inspire Your Team to Greatness assessment and you'll get a custom report that will tell you step by step what you need to do to guarantee that your team is more proactive and productive. It's absolutely free of charge and it'll create a win-win-win. It's a win for me when you share your great results from the assessment with other leaders. It's a win for you and it's ultimately a win for your team and organization as you collectively accomplish more. Click on the assessment link in the show notes now to change the course of your leadership and inspire your team to new heights and to demonstrate the courage of a leader. We need courageous leadership now more than ever. In today's episode, I'm talking with Mary Lynn Faomi, a nationally respected leader and the president and CEO of HR Source. Mary Lynn brings decades of experience guiding organizations through change and uncertainty. Together, we explore what it really takes to lead with courage when the ground keeps shifting, how to stay grounded, practice humility, and inspire confidence even in the toughest moments. If you've ever wondered how to balance vulnerability with strength and re-engage your teams in today's landscape, this conversation is for you. Welcome to the Courage of a Leader podcast. This is where you hear real-life stories of top leaders achieving extraordinary results. And you get practical advice and techniques you can immediately apply for your own success. This is where you will get inspired and take bold, courageous action. I'm so glad you can join us. I'm your host, Amy Riley. Now, are you ready to step into the full power of your leadership and achieve the results you care about most? Let's ignite the courage of a leader. Mary Lynn, thank you so much for being with me today on the Courage of a Leader podcast.
It's such a pleasure to be here, Amy. I always love talking to you.
Same. And I'm excited about our topic. I think we are talking about the topic that is critical right now in the landscape. And that is, how can all of us leaders, all us people leaders, really be the courageous leaders that our teams and our organizations need right now, as there are changing dynamics, unknowns, divides in our world? So let me start by asking, what does this courageous leadership look like right now when the ground keeps shifting on us? How would you define or describe it, Mary Lynn?
I would describe it as a interesting and challenging time to dig deep and lean into your experience, your strengths, and your humility in order to lead courageously. Because it's always easier to lead during calm, predictable, easy breezy, positive times. Yeah. But as you mentioned, the shifting landscape, the uncertainty, the, you know, so many changes happening globally, domestically, locally. Turn on the news any given day, many things can impact your business, impact your life personally. And how do you maintain a calm sense of knowing where your true north is, a sense of what your business requires, what your team requires, but also be open enough to admit that you don't have all the answers and that you too may have not prepared adequately for the balls that are getting thrown at you left, right, and center?
Yes. Oh, Mary Lynn, as you say that, turn on the news today or the balls that are coming at you. I mean, I'm just feeling those releases of cortisol in our system every time we're presented with something new. What are we going to do about this? What's our response to this? What does this mean to the business, the team? And you've already said so many great things about what is needed from leaders. In the midst of that, we need folks to dig deep and bring their experiences and their skills and their humility, creating that calm, that calmness, being grounded in what do our team members and what does our organization need from us right now, knowing that true north. And I just feel different as I talk about that, paraphrasing the things that you just said, rather than here comes the news, here comes the balls, right? How do we get grounded in what's most important when we don't know everything?
Right. And we are human. All leaders are human. So again, it is not incumbent upon us or expected from us as humans to lack reactions, right? To stay so stoic that we don't show our teams or the world how these things are impacting us. I feel like leaning into your passion as it relates to the work you do, the mission of your organization, the industry you're in, is critical. And so acknowledging the concerns that are facing your organization and or impacting you personally, I think is part of authentic leadership and also helps our teams to not be afraid to open up about their own concerns.
Yeah.
But by the same token, feel empowered and respected for speaking up and sharing their ideas as well as their concerns, right? Because we're needing our talented teams, our partners, our stakeholders, our constituents now more than ever to figure out where we have alignment to help us work through these tumultuous times. And so just being surrounded by a bunch of folks who, you know, are fearful as well and, you know, scared to speak up is not going to propel our organizations forward.
No. This points to another dynamic or characteristic of someone demonstrating the courage of a leader right now is that authenticity, right? Showing and being open to the humanness of it right now. I want to ask you, Mary Lynn, about the balancing act that I think that this requires, because we want to say, oh, you know, this was some frustrating news, or this is some news we need to react to, or, you know, I know that this is bringing up emotions and concerns in me, knowledge it might be in all of you as well, acknowledging that, showing some vulnerability, yet also needing to be the person that demonstrates confidence, right? And is outlining the path forward for folks. What would you say about striking that right balance?
Well, first of all, I would say it is an art, not a science. Yeah. There is no one size fits all. And this is where showing your authenticity, your humanity is going to weigh into the equation and your unique formula for that balancing act. You describe it as a balancing act, and that's exactly what it is. For some of us, it includes first going to our personal board of directors or our inner circle to vent, to air our frustrations, to admit our concerns, and to kind of play out various scenarios so that we're not reacting in the moment and maybe just showing any trepidation with regard to facing the future. So, whatever technique works, some people do that in solitude. They walk or they run like you, right? They meditate, they hike, they do yoga. Others do it through talking. Like I'm a very vocal, I process through sharing. And so some of us share. I have some colleagues who stay away from the news. Like consuming the news becomes paralyzing for them because they're just consumed with worry. I'm a little bit of a news junkie, but I try to moderate that with not taking in too much of it or getting too wrapped up in the details, but having a general finger on the pulse of what's happening as it relates to unemployment, tariffs, economic trends, how it's impacting our member organizations. So the best thing about the way I'm approaching this question that you've asked is my way is not going to be your way. Your way is not going to be my way. There is no right way, but to take the sting out of this constant cycle of, oh my, oh dear, oh Lord, oh gosh, how are we ever going to get through this? Is, doing something as a leader or some set of things that work for you individually to help you then be able to come to your team with confidence. And I'm going to put humility in there again. Humility that you don't have all the answers and or that we've never been through this before, or this set of circumstances surely is unique, extra challenging, confident that we'll get through it. So I was in a chat with a number of association CEOs recently, and we came to the conclusion that the current situation we're in is an odd hybrid blend of the last big recession and the pandemic together, right? Some sort of hybrid of that where we're all going through a really tough time together. We're all facing similar challenges, but that have specific consequences depending on the markets we serve, the stability of our organization, the team we have around us, the expectations of our board. And it's taking the experience that we gained if we were leading through those two time periods in our, to those are helping inform and know that this too shall pass. We will get through this. We do have the stamina. We do have the wherewithal. We do have, enough tools in our belt to survive and thrive through this and at the hopefully end of this roller coaster we're on right now.
The challenge is real. And we have tangible lessons learned from the previous spaces that we've navigated. And I really like where you went, Marilyn, with the last question. We can feel pressured as leaders to have the sense of urgency, like I've got to act, I've got to respond, I've got to. And I hear you inviting us to pause and process. However that works for you, right? New piece of news, something to respond to, a new dynamic in your landscape. Pause, process it, go to your personal board of directors, spend time in nature, talk about it out loud. Do your processing in the way that it works for you so that you then can move forward with that humility and confidence.
Exactly.
Think that we've got to, oh, we've got to like respond immediately.
Right, because I think many of us were taught, you have the answers. You got to be ready at all times. You got to, and yes, you have to be prepared to be responsive, but you also have the opportunity to pump the brakes a bit and just, we all know. I mean, every single one of us has gotten an email that sends our heart rate up, our blood pressure boiling, and we have learned over time, shooting off a response is usually not presenting our best self. We usually calmer minds prevail when we take the time to sit on it a bit, cool our jets, think about how we want to respond if we do need to respond and do it more thoughtfully and carefully. And again, frequently, email is not the right answer, right? It, frequently, it's you need to pick up the phone, you need to meet with someone in person, you, and sometimes a non-response is the appropriate response in the moment. But you get to make that selection. The same way you do with all the other issues that are facing us, right? Take some time,
I'm
pause.
also hearing in what you're saying, Mary Lynn, that there's enough going on these days that we should have our regular processing practices, that they should just be built into our days and our weeks, because we know we're going to need that processing time in today's landscape.
And to me, that was a silver lining of the pandemic, was more time. And we learned how valuable it was, what a difference it made. Never in my 35 years on the job, more than 35, pushing 40 now, had never woken up without an alarm and not jump directly in the shower until the pandemic, right? My whole career had been jumping out of bed when the alarm rang, straight to the shower, drinking coffee and breakfast on the go, depending on my time of life, rushing the kids off to school, getting to the office by 8 or 8:30. And then all of a sudden, these morning hours, because I'm a very early riser, to write, read, think, write, exercise, have my coffee in solitude, a time of
Interesting.
reflection. And that many of us changed our routines for the better and for good during that time. And we also, as leaders, I think talk about it more openly and encourage others to have practices that work with their own people's circadian rhythms and to honor when is your most productive time of the day, not be so rigid about these are our working hours and this is exactly what you should do when, and we're rushing around all the time, right? That to me was one of the silver linings or gifts that time where the world shut down for a while gave us.
Yes, I love that. I do want to do a pause here and tell listeners more about you, Mary Lynn. But I love that reminder, that invitation. Our world has shifted in significant enough ways recently that there have been times that we have learned, got to experiment with, got insights into the routines that work best for us. And it's amazing. We can get into these and then it's so easy to slip away from them. So that's an invitation for everyone listening. What are the routines that you know serve you and give you that headspace, give you that time to regulate your system, not have any more additional releases of cortisol going off, give you an opportunity to metabolize some of that and do some of that planning, thinking, centering. All right,
Critical.
Mary Lynn, want to tell listeners more about you? Mary Lynn Fayoumi is the president and CEO of HR Source, a Chicago-based employers association now with over 1,300 member organizations. Mary Lynn is a highly respected speaker, trainer, and advisor, and an accepted authority on a variety of workplace issues, including culture, employment trends, and HR management. Countless organizations have benefited from her expertise during her long tenure at HR Source. She is a prolific writer, quoted and published regularly in a variety of industry publications. She currently serves as the lead director of the World at Work Board and is past chair of the board of directors for both the Association Forum of Chicagoland and the Employer Associations of America. She's currently on the executive committee of the Downers Grove Economic Development Corporation, and she's a board member and treasurer for the Employers Associations of America. Mary Lynn was honored by Crain Chicago Business as a notable leader in HR in 2020 and was named the 2021 Woman of Influence by the Association Forum. And very recently, she is the recipient of the prestigious Samuel B. Shapiro Award. This is the highest honor bestowed on an association professional by the Association Forum for outstanding service and accomplishments in association management. Congratulations for that recent and well-deserved recognition of your contributions, Mary Lynn.
Thank you so much, Amy. And I saw you skip a little. Yes, I'm back on the Employer Associations of America board for the third time.
Oh.
When you stick around the same industry for a long, long time, you end up, and I just am a firm believer in servant leadership and just giving back to the industry that has been so good to me. So,
and you are doing so in a variety of ways. Thank you for serving.
My privilege.
Yeah, our world's organizations, associations in the ways that you do. I wanted to come back and ask you, talked about the importance of humility. And I think often as humans, when we're feeling uncertain or exposed or, oh, this is risky, I'm not sure that I should take this in the direction that I'm thinking about taking this. How do we choose humility and curiosity instead of like, oh, I've got to control this?
Wow. That is something that requires practice.
Yeah.
Right? It requires practice, and it requires surrounding yourself with people who understand the benefits of honesty, integrity, time, and are open to failing fast and learning from mistakes. Because I think believing that you need to react quickly and have all the answers immediately and always be right comes from a place of fear.
Yeah.
And probably was, hardwired in somewhere in childhood or early career, where people who screwed up got beaten up or got called out or embarrassed. And so that knee-jerk reaction to always, be argumentative and be, super sure or cocky confident right out of the gates usually is some sort of learned behavior that was reinforced. Again, I'm no psychologist, but from my many years working with others, it often comes from a place of wanting to be in control and fearing what will happen if you're not in control. So practicing vulnerability, fortunately, has become much more acceptable and common in the past couple decades. It used to be seen as a death knell to your leadership career trajectory, right? It signaled weakness.
Yeah.
I think that has changed tremendously for the better
yeah.
in the past 20 years. Again, this is industry specific, as well as organizationally specific in terms of what your culture is, but showing your vulnerability and weaknesses and admitting mistakes or even shining a big spotlight on them
Nice.
has been really outlined and studied much more carefully in terms of the positive end results that can be achieved by doing so.
I like that you started there with the idea of practice. That's an, and I'm hearing active practice, right? And looking and noticing and accepting, hey, I've probably been socialized to have all the answers, have the right answers, respond right away, right? And practicing reflecting, how is this working? Vulnerability, right? I mean, we don't mean showing up and like sharing all of your childhood trauma or embarrassing moments from your whole life. I mean, we mean admitting mistakes. And I love how you said it, shining a light on mistakes, like saying, I don't know all the answers.
Yeah.
But we can express confidence in the people in the room. I have the confidence that
yeah.
we together can figure this out. Yeah, showing your humanity and surrounding yourself with people that are willing to take risks, fail fast, learn from them. Yeah, I feel like we got to talk about this as a journey
oh.
of experimentation and iteration rather than here's the decision, here's the path for the next 5 years.
Right.
But,
Yeah,
instead,
more and more companies aren't even doing 5-year plans. Like
right?
we switched to quarterly budgets 5 years ago, and they are so much more accurate and in tune with the marketplace conditions. So expectations have changed, and there is a fluidity that yields higher results.
Yes. So setting up those structures that allow for that fluidity and language is so important. Talking about experimenting, talking about iterating. What did we learn? Okay, we're going to shift to this so that it doesn't feel like fad or flavor of the day, but we're talking about how is this evolving? What are we learning? And we might learn something that causes a sharp right turn, but we're going to be transparent about that. We thought the direction was X. We learned it wasn't.
Right.
Now we're going in Y direction.
And inviting voices to be heard and really listening. Like some of our
thank you.
Best ideas are coming from very new members of our team who are questioning. We're inviting them to question everything, and they are. And while some of their input is slightly painful at times because it's like, duh, like, why were we or do we do things this way? Like, how did we not? Why did we have such blinders on? And some of it, again, is an iterative process where they're making just wonderful suggestions on ways to improve the way we deliver our services, how we interact with our members. And they're laying the foundation or relaying it for the future in a way that if we had stayed standing still and hadn't listened to them after inviting their feedback, we could have become or could become stagnant and unresponsive to the needs of today's consumer.
Yeah. It's interesting, Mary Lynn, and you can correct me if you would want to paraphrase this a different way. As I'm listening to you, the art of this, the humanity, the processing, routines that serve us, inviting people to be heard, listening, all of that I'm hearing slow down. Pause, take a moment to process, be the calm eye in the center of the storm as the chaos is going on around us.
Yeah,
You're nodding.
Instead of like being, I think there used to be a, and there still is in many organizations, a real sense of we got to also be in the chaos.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's part of our role. We don't
I got to be reacting. I got to be responding. I got to.
Right. We
all
don't
the
have
things.
Any choice. But just because you're not being reactive in real time doesn't mean you're lacking in responsiveness. Right?
Yeah.
It's making a conscious choice to make the right decisions at the right moments, which usually come about by your term, slow down. Slow down a little. Think. Gather more data. Research. There is usually almost always time, you know, even though there's high expectations for picking up the pace.
Yeah.
You know, in most instances, we can take a bit of time that can be extremely beneficial to help us consider the options and choose the right path on this journey.
Slow down to speed up.
Yes, for sure.
Time has gone by very quickly.
Oh.
Mary Lynn, a final question. What's the most important question for courageous leaders to be asking themselves these days?
How can we respond in the most effective way to stay true to our mission?
Nice. Yeah.
And that will differ by organization, by industry. And, you know, I always go back to what is our true north? What, how do we align ourselves in whatever, no matter what storm is going on around us?
Yes.
How do we stay true? You know, for some organizations, that is, you know, shareholder return, right? Others, right? It's the safety of a particular product. For some, it's right. For us, it is being an invaluable ally to employers. How in this environment do we stay true to that mission and do our best work?
I love it. You're inviting us in that question to respond rather than to react, and to have that North Star, that mission, that purpose in mind as we do so.
You know, our old Simon Sinek, what's the why? Right?
Indeed.
Stick to the why, and then how.
Yeah, and be grounded in that why right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Lynn, thank you so much for your time and sharing of your expertise on the Courage of a Leader podcast.
Thank you for inviting me, Amy. I learned so much working with you and hope the listeners enjoy this episode.
I know they did. Thank you, Mary Lynn.
Thank you for listening to the Courage of a Leader podcast. If you'd like to further explore this episode's topic, please reach out to me through the Courage of a Leader website at www.courageofaleader.com. I'd love to hear from you. Please take the time to leave a review on iTunes. That helps us expand our reach and get more people fully stepping into their leadership potential. Until next time, be bold and be brave, because you've got the courage of a leader.